So if you could tell me your name and how long you've lived in town, please.
I'm Jean Jusko, and I've lived here 46 years.
And what brought you here?
Well, we bought a little house on Main Street, and it was very little, but I was having babies at that point, so I had twos in a row, and we put a big addition, well, same size addition on the house. But we always, we, meaning I actually, Rick was happy to be anywhere, I think. I always loved Connecticut. We grew up in New Jersey, mm-hmm. very suburban, but we loved the country. And yet, I knew that I wasn't truly a country gal. Do you know, I mean, that right. kind of farming, kind of, I knew nothing about cows and stuff. But Main Street, Bridgewater seemed to be just right. And we found it in the New York Times, this little tiny ad, and it came with the most lovely gardens. A woman, the older woman, Edith Worcester and Peg Campbell, they were both gardeners who lived in the houses over the years. And then it was filled with family and children, because there were two single ladies, and instantly filled. And the poor gardens suffered a little, but the house did not. We added lots of good things to the house. And we love antiques, and still to this day. And we came to Litchfield County to go to antique shows, and we always knew about them because my mom and dad lived in Ulster County across the river on Hudson, Kingston, New York. So we always piddled around over here, but it was good, you know, and we knew we wanted to live here. And Rick was a teacher.
Okay.
We could, you know, he was out of Vietnam and out of University of Virginia, University of Maryland, and I worked in D.C., which was great out of school. I really worked at what I was trained for. So,
You trained for?
I was an illustration major, and I illustrated kinds of Washington senators' logos and all the newspaper articles and ads for them. So I was drawing really cool things, mm-hmm. and they were in the newspaper in D.C. So that was great. And then I had my babies, and I went into decorating, because it really worked with the antiques and stuff. So we were all over Litchfield County, all over the Northeast, really, with these kind of things, these antiques.
So I actually want to push on that idea of you grew up in this sort of suburban area.
Yes.
Why is this appealing to you?
Well, I still call it my backyard, but as we did in suburbia, a little mm-hmm. square. But I needed to have space around us. We wanted that open space, and mm-hmm. we found a house that was really right in town, but had this big space behind it. And Rick turned it into, it was a cow pasture, he turned it into a golf course. So that was perfect for both of us, really. And I loved gardens mm-hmm. and things to really get at the land that way.
Do you remember your first memory of Bridgewater? Or at least your first memory of feeling like you were part of the community, maybe even?
Yes. Within 4 weeks after we bought the house, I had my first child, a breech, and it was, so I had all that Lamaze stuff, but mm-hmm. then they put me under anyway. And I can hear myself talking about my little red house, not my baby, but he's coming. And Rick was just, he just told me about this over and over. And when I brought this child home, everything was blooming along Main Street, the dogwoods and the road, everything seemed to be happening. And my family was there, and they had never been to Bridgewater before. They're from New Jersey and from New York, and it was so amazing. Even though I had this child in my arms, I was so proud of this town. Do you know that they were seeing it along with our young family all at once? And that mm-hmm. is my, and we, Eleanor Gowan, of course, is my very first memory too of a person in town, and Tom Gannon, and Peg Gannon, who are our almost next door neighbors, and old town Bridgewater people that took a lot of us young people in. There weren't many young people when we mm-hmm. moved to town here.
Was there resistance to new people moving in?
I don't think no. so. I never felt that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although they never let us build a swimming pool. Dan Bianchi, I can remember that man. No, we don't need one. And we're all having babies and saying, yes, let's have a pool. But no, it never happened. But it's fine.
Right, right. So you said your first memory was of Eleanor Gowan. Do you remember?
Well, it was sort of a picture in my mind of country living, you know, the little village store, mm-hmm. sort of dark and wooden floors and stuff. But it was just that she, and her accent, she had that New England accent, mm-hmm. And it was just and calm as anything. And I was a little frantic as a young mother of two immediate children. So she always gave good advice. And as the children grew up here, Andy and Becky, they knew her that way, you know, as an almost a grandmother, because their grandmothers did not live nearby. And so they knew her. Whether she knew it or not, my kids did. And she took good care of them when they went into that store. Yes. So I was thankful. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the first time that I've heard that about Eleanor Gowan, that she sort of took people under her wing.
Yes. She could see us.
I think it really illustrates the community here, though.
Yes, true. Yes. And, I came to the library, of course, right away, because I was always reading. And, mm-hmm. And the children were always in and out here. But there were, what is her name? Oh,
Pat? Pat Mesnick?
Isn't that awful? I can't think of her name. Well, anyway, who ran the library?
It wasn't Grace Madal, was it?
Not Grace, okay. No. But anyway, but she also was this older woman that I adored. And, you know, I just looked up to her and realized, oh, this is who I can be too, you know. And as a young woman, mm-hmm. I was 30, I guess, at that point. But
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, she was wonderful.
What was it about her that you wanted to be like?
Well, it's Kay. It's
Kay Edwards.
Right. And, she was, again, you know, educated and yet loved living in the country. You know, you didn't have to walk the city streets. I always thought I would live in New York for a while, but never would that really be possible. That wasn't going to happen. And yet I could realize that you could be this wonderful, intelligent woman and still live a country, quiet kind of life, mm-hmm. and do your own thing.
Right.
Do your own thing, because she did.
Did you have your sort of expectations about the country, the people living in the country?
Yes. Yes, that's why we wanted.
I think we all are.
Yes, living in New Jersey, I knew exactly. I went to school in Philadelphia, so I lived in the city for 4 years, and I knew that there was something else. Mm-hmm. And Connecticut always, because I always thought all of Connecticut was Litchfield County.
Right.
I didn't realize the rest of Connecticut, and so, but it's beautiful. It's lovely up here, and mm-hmm. We are very happy to be here to this day. Yes.
So what sort of makes you feel like you're part of the community now? And you, silence yes. is okay. Like, it's okay to think if you need to.
Why? I think it's because I've been here for a long time. So finally, maybe lots of different kinds of different people know me, mm-hmm. because I've just been here out of longevity.
Right.
But it's just being part of the church, at a congregational church that I started right away. I had the children baptized and everything there, and I loved the community. I'm not a terribly religious person, but I love the community, mm-hmm. and the church and the library and the village store. You know, all those things make me feel like a positive addition to, you know, that I've given to life in town. Yes, and all you do is keep helping people.
Right.
They help you. You help them. And that has always happened here. my neighbors have been good.
Would you care to tell any stories about sort of that help?
Yes, well, Mrs. Gowan was always, she was the age of my mother. My mother didn't live, she died at 59, and Mrs. Gowan kept on living, you know, next door to us. And she would always tell me, tattle, but tell me that the children were riding their bikes in the street. Do you know, you must, yes, you better talk to them again, you know. She knew that I had, and she always babysat for us whenever she could. And Tom Gannon was a, her husband, was one of the selectmen in town. And so he was actually, I was sort of a Republican back then, and so it was Rick, as our parents were. Mm-hmm. But he really brought me around to seeing the other side. And so I can hear the Watergate things in their house. You know, I would take the children over thinking, oh, my God, they're watching this again.
Right.
And serious people, you know, about this. And it got me, it's part of my memory now of that whole era, because they were doing it. I was way too not connected to it, mm-hmm. with the children around, but they really brought me around politically too. So
I think that is probably, you just hit the nail on the head about how this entire project sort of works, and that. So I always felt as though I lived in a different era almost, because I lived through the memories of my grandfather and through, and so they become, you sort of assimilate that, and I think. So you telling these stories is just as important. I mean, you telling me the story of, you told me a story about Van Wyck Brooks's wife,
yes,
and the cats.
And the cats, oh God.
And so now that's part of me.
Yes.
And actually, would you tell that story?
Okay. So, first of all, I wouldn't even know who he is.
Right.
You know? I mean, I didn't
read
those sorts of books. Or I don't know, except that we always knew that we loved the house. I'm an architectural freak, kind of. I love that stuff. And so, but his wife was always one of those older, dominant women in town and ran socially these things. Not that I was part of that. But she had kitty cats that we all knew because we played with them outside. Mm-hmm. They would cross the street safely. And there we were sitting in church one day. The children were young because the kids were still in with me. And you could see this little black and white cat. And the church is very white and blue. And they were walking along the top railing of the,
the balcony?
Balcony, yes, right, right. And so everyone, and that was when Sam was there, Sam Young. And everything stopped. And we all sort of talked to the cat. You know, not just the children, mm-hmm. but children sort of brought him in too, yes, and he jumped down and ran out the front door. I guess it was a summer day, of course. And so he was a beautiful little thing. I don't know his name, mm-hmm. or anything. But Gladys, or Mrs. Brooks, was something else. Yes, with gloves on and a hat.
Oh, really?
Yes, right. She was, yes. Oh, Peg. There was a lot of ladies in town at that point that still were of the 40s, early 50s, that had hats and gloves on. So we felt, but we were already what we thought were hippies.
Right.
Not really. We're just young. Or bell-bottom jeans. Yes. I know. With flags upside down on our back pocket, too. Yes, right.
I can't picture you in bell-bottom jeans, Jean.
We all were. Joan Baez. Yes, right. Yes, yes.
So it strikes me, and actually my other conversation with Pamela Hochstetter, this sort of struck me earlier, about how, so I've done a lot of conversations in New Milford where there's a lot going on and there are a lot of organizations, and how in Bridgewater, it's really up to you to make and to find and make your community.
Right.
So was it really important to you to find that community?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And we all did, and we're still all good friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us have been married for almost 50 years, each of that maybe 7 or 8 of us that we found each other in 72, 73, 74, mm-hmm. had all just moved to town, had young children, and that was it.
Right.
You know, that we were friends for life, and our husbands became friends.
That's so special.
It is. And we still have this Village Store Monday morning, Village Store, Wendy and Pamela and myself and Sue Musala and Carol Hacker. All of us get together every Monday morning, and with other new people too, that New York ladies who are sort of up here now for keeps, let's say, not traveling back and forth.
Right.
And they like, you know, we like being with them and they like being with us. So, you know, it has grown nicely, this morning group. Yes.
How have you seen the community change?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it, I suppose it has, because everyone says that it has. But I think for the better, maybe. Because at church, it isn't only Bridgewater people. Lots of Brookfield and New Milford and Southbury, Newtown people have come into, you know, just crossing borders now a little more. When we first bought our house, Rick was teaching in Brookfield High School. No one even knew where Bridgewater was. Bridgewater? You know, I mean, it's just across the bridge.
Right.
It's nothing. But people sort of, I don't know, we were proud to not be known.
Mm-hmm.
And then that whole thing just happened, you know, where we need to be known. And I guess it's for real estate money reasons. I have no idea. But I think it's a good thing, too, that we have intermixed with all the other communities, and we have friends, you know, in other places, not just Bridgewater.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only difference I see. I don't know why. There's not as many young people in town, but I'm an old person now. There wasn't a lot of young people in town when I was the young person.
Right.
So it feels sort of the same in some way to me. Yeah. And all the established things, the library, church, the garden club, those are just enough for me anyway. Yeah, of course, for 35, almost 40 years, I went in and out of the city and worked, you know. So that was that middle years of my life. It was very nice to leave because all I wanted to do was come home. That was really all I wanted to do when I was working. It was lovely to be there, but I just couldn't wait to come home. I never stayed overnight. Clients always said, oh, stay. I said, no, I have to go home. So that was a good out, but a very nice coming home.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say, too, that I think it's a testament to the strength of the community here that there is that sort of intermixing, as you called it. I mean, I don't live in town, but I feel so much part of this community. And I think it's because there is some sort of magic in this, in what this town is.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, and the New York ladies, my friends that are from other places further away, have always said that they want to get into the town more. That's why we started this. They wanted to know what else was going on. And of course, all we said to them is simply come to the library, come to church, just join something.
Right.
Just, you've got to give some time or energy to the town, and they will just bombard you with all that love and, yes, to get you back for more and more. Yes. But you can't stand off on the side and just look around. You want to jump right into the stuff. Not that a lot's happening, you just...
I would imagine, too, if you did just stand by, it would be easy to sort of just hide in this town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how the town was known earlier. We were little artist hermits, you know, living up on, Northrop Street and big, long driveways. Not big, poshy places, but, do you know, little where writers and artists lived. And maybe that's still like that. But I think we are different now,
right?
Artists and writers, they need to be exposed to, I don't know, people.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Please. Yes, yeah.
So one last question.
Oh, yes.
So what are your hopes for Bridgewater? What do you hope it is in, say, 50 or 100 years?
I certainly don't want it to stand still. Mm-hmm. We always thought that someday our house on Main Street would be a restaurant, or because there's lots of areas to park down, mm-hmm. and they could turn it into something with the pond and everything, and that there would be more, you know, sort of new townish Main Street or Woodbury Main Street, that would happen. Do I wish that for the town? Only if the future generations want it, of course, but it probably will.
Right.
And but I have no, that's not sad to me. Nothing can stay the same.
No.
Just hopefully people keep loving it the way we do. Yes.
Right.
Yes, and make all their little efforts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, for it. For themselves.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to stop recording unless, is there anything you want to add? Any memories, mm-hmm. any anecdotes? It's okay if there aren't.
Yes,
no worries.
I can't think of them right okay. now. My memory is sort of going to.
It's okay, so is
yes.
mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop recording now.